الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وفي ذلك فليتنافس المتنافسون صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من تطهر في بيته ثم خرج إلى المسجد لأداء صلاة مكتوبة فأجره مثل أجر الحاج المحرم أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم Respected علماء الكرام, elders, beloved brothers in Islam, we are living in an increasingly materialistic world. This human being's endeavor on a daily basis primarily is motivated by how much he can acquire or amass of the material things of this world. Such is the environment around us and such is the effort to instill the importance of this life that the concern of qabr, the concern of akhirat, this primary message of Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, that when it comes to the worldly effort, that should be to the extent of necessity. The actual goal and the actual object is the akhirat. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam beautifully in a parable or example, he renders a comparison between this world and the hereafter, wherein he says, وَاللَّهِ مَا الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا مِثْلُ مَا يَجْعَلُ أَحَدُكُمْ إِصْبَعَهُ فِي الْيَمِّ فَلْيَنْظُرْ بِمَا يَرْجِعُ. He said, this dunya compared to akhirat is like someone has to take his finger, dip it in the ocean, lift it up. Normally how we translate this hadith is we say that the droplet of water on the finger is the dunya and the entire ocean is akhirat. That translation also is not correct, because the droplet of water does not remain on the finger, it drops back into the ocean. The little wetness that remains on the finger, that is the dunya, and the entire ocean is akhirat. On the qasam of Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, this is the comparison of dunya with akhirat. In one athar it is mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had a conversation with his malaika. And Allah Ta'ala told them that He is going to send insan to this world. And this human being will procreate. In other words, their numbers will multiply. So the angels asked Allah Ta'ala that, Ya Allah, if they are going to procreate and their numbers are going to multiply, a point will be reached that this earth will not be able to sustain these human beings. So Allah Ta'ala mentioned to his angels, I am going to create insan, and I am going to create more than death. They will die, and those that will die will be buried underneath the earth. This is how the existence of human beings will carry on in this world. So the angels said to Allah that, Ya Allah, if there is going to be mort, if there is going to be death, if in front of those human beings others are going to die, then what satisfaction will there be in this life for them? How will they aspire towards this world? So Allah Ta'ala responded to his angels that I will create mort and I will create hirs and greed also. And it is this hirs and greed, this quality that is there in this human being, that despite the fact that daily people are dying around us, despite the fact that we are constantly reminded that this life is not everything, still the plans and the efforts of this insan are such, it is as if there is no mort, as if there is no death. Amongst the narrators of ahadith, it is said that the most prolific narrator of hadith is Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. 5,374 ahadith. This one sahabi narrated. After him, the second highest narrator of hadith is Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the beloved wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She narrated in excess of 2,200 ahadith. On one occasion, this question was put to her, that what is it that you heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying the most often? Now try and appreciate, understand the veracity of this. This is the second highest narrator of hadith. And she is asked, what did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeat the most often in his home? She said, the thing I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeating the most often, لَوْ كَانَ لِإِبْنِ آدَمَ وَادِيًا مِّن ذَهَبٍ أَحَبَّ أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُ وَادِيًا وَلَيَّمْ لَا فَاهُ إِلَّا التُّرَابِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. That if Ibn Adam, if insan had one valley of gold, he'll want a second one. And if he had a second one, he'll want a third one. Such is his avarice and his greed for this dunya, that nothing but the sand of the grave will satisfy his greed. This quality of hirs and greed, this quality of competitiveness with one another to amass and acquire the things of this world. On the one hand, if the correct effort is not made, it is something that is destructive for insan. On the other hand, it is a necessary quality for this human being to subsist in this world. And because this quality is inherent in every human being, Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam made this effort to channel this hirs, this greed, this avarice, this competitiveness of insan away from this dunya towards akhirat. This is why Hasan Basri rahimahullah used to say, إِذَا رَأَيْتَ الرَّجُلْ يُنَافِسْكَ فِي الدُّنْيَا فَنَافِسْهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. He used to say that if you see someone who is going ahead of you in dunya, from one shop he's got the second shop, from one property he's got the next property, from an inferior car he's driving a superior model, you are competing with him, you see him going ahead of you, what is the sign of your intelligence? Hasan Basri rahimahullah says, فَنَافِسْهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. Compete with him in akhirah, don't worry about this dunya. Pick up any newspaper today, listen to any aspect of media today, what is happening in the world? People are marching, whether it is Europe, whether it is America, whether it is Africa, throughout the world people are marching, people are demanding rights. Human beings are making this attempt to address perceived disparities, injustices in the distribution of the material wealth of this world. The poor feel they are disadvantaged and they are marching, they are demanding their rights. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to use this word march is an insult for Sahaba. But I'm going to use it in keeping with our understanding. A delegation was formed in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they went before Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They went into Darbar-e-Risalat. They had come to demand that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam address an issue for them. They were concerned about the fact that they are disadvantaged. They were concerned about the disparate distribution of wealth. But the primary difference, my respected brothers, is that the annals of history have never seen a delegation like this one. The whole world today is marching. The poor are saying we are disadvantaged, we want to be equal. But the focus of their concern is this dunya. This delegation that came before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, their concern was not for dunya, their concern was for akhirah. قَدِمَ نَاسٌ مِّن فُقَرَاءِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. The narrator of the hadith says that the poor people of Medina formed a delegation and came before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They had a concern, they felt they were disadvantaged. They were demanding from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to address this disparate distribution of wealth. But what was the basis of their concern? As I mentioned, the annals of history have never seen an example like this. They said, ذَهَبَ أَهْلُ الدُّثُورِ بِأُجُورِ هُمْ يَتَصَدَّقُونَ وَلَا نَتَصَدَّقُ وَيُنْفِقُونَ وَلَا نُنْفِقُ وَيُعْتِقُونَ وَلَا نُعْتِقُ. They said, Ya Rasulullah, the rich ones are gone ahead. Turn the clock 14th century's front. Today the poor are also marching. The rich ones are gone ahead in what? They've got better homes, better cars, better facilities, better amenities, better wealth. No, that was not their concern. The rich ones are gone ahead of us. Why? Because they are able to give sadaqah and charity and we are not able to spend in the way of Allah. They are gone ahead of us because they are able to make Hajj and Umrah. This period that we are passing through is what we call Ayyam-e-Hajj. Sahaba, rich and poor, had heard of the value and the reward for Hajj. What reward? By way of example, just one hadith. On one occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sitting in the Masjid al-Khayf in Mina. Two Sahaba come, one from the Ansar and one from the Banu Thaqif clan. They had come to ask some questions. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam addresses them and he says, if you want, you may put your questions before me and I will respond. Or if you want, Jibreel has already come and informed me what your questions are. I will tell you what your questions are. They said, Ya Rasulullah, you tell us. I'm cutting the riwayat short. Time is limited. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you have come to ask me about the reward that is given for the various manasik of Hajj. They said, by the qasam of Allah, that is exactly what we came to ask. He said, فَإِنَّكَ إِذَا خَرَجْتَ مِن بَيْتِكَ تَأُمُّ الْبَيْتَ الْحَرَامِ فَلَا تَضَعُ نَاقَتُكَ خُفًّا وَلَا تَرْفَعُهُ إِلَّا كُتِبَتْ لَكَ بِهَا حَسَنًا وَحُطَّ عَنْكَ بِهَا خَطِيئًا وَأَمَّا رَكَعْتَاكَ بَعْدَ الطَّوَافِ كَعِتْكِ رَقَبَةٍ مِّن بَنِي إِسْمَاعِيلَ وَأَمَّا طَوَافُكَ بَيْنَ الصَّفَا وَالْمَرْوَةِ كَعِتْكِ 70 رَقَبَةً واما وقوفك عشيه عرفه فان الله تعالى يهبط الى السماء الدنيا فيباهي بكم ملائكه عبادي هؤلاء جاءوني شعثا من كل فج عميق يرجون جنتي ويخافون عذابي فلو كانت ذنوبكم كعدد الرمل او كقطر المطر او كزبد البحر لغفرتها لكم افيضوا مغفورا لكم ولمن شفعتم له الى اخر الحديث. He said, a person when he leaves his house to proceed for Hajj, on every step, one sin is forgiven, one reward is written down for him. He makes 2 rakat salah after tawaf-i qudum. Allah gives him the reward as if he freed one slave, not an ordinary slave, a slave from the progeny of Ismail alayhi salam. He makes sa'i between Safa and Marwa. Allah gives him the reward of freeing 70 slaves. The Hujjaj gather on the plains of Arafah. Allah descends a descension in keeping with His majesty and greatness. Allah descends to the first heaven and He addresses His malaika, look at my slaves. They have come to me from deep and distant ravines. Their hair is disheveled, their bodies are full of dust. They desire my mercy, they fear my azab. Allah addresses the gathering of Arafah. And He says, if your sins be as many as the number of rain droplets that have fallen from the heavens, or your sins be as many as the number of grains of sand on this earth, or your sins be as many as the number of the foam of the waves of the oceans, لَغَفَرْتُهَا لَكُمْ, I have forgiven all your sins. Return now in such a condition that not only are you forgiven, those on whose behalf you will seek forgiveness, they also are forgiven. And then the Haji will pelt the Jamarat, the Shayateen. For every stone, takfiru kabiratin min al-mubiqat, such a sin which was going to take you to Jahannam, Allah will forgive such a sin. Like that, toward the end of the hadith, like I said, time is limited. Sahaba had heard these rewards. The reward of freeing a slave, the reward of sadaqah, the reward of Hajj, the reward of Umrah. The poor did not have the means. They were concerned that we are being left behind. But the point I am reiterating, the concern was not for dunya, but for akhirat. They are going ahead of us in reward, Ya Rasulullah. What must we do? Like I said, the annals of history have never seen an issue like this. On the one hand was the intelligence of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam such that there is no comparison with his maqam, his status, his intelligence. On the other hand is his audience. Who are his audience? The poor people of Medina, the Bedouins, desert dwellers. They haven't been to school or university or had some academic background. He could have given them a complex answer. Nowadays a lot of times we find intellectuals, when they give a talk, they use bombastic terms. Such terms, they themselves don't know the meaning. And the majma will come out and say, what a fantastic talk. What big terms he was using. The more confused we get, we think the better the speaker is. That is not intelligence, that's foolishness. Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the most intelligent human being that ever lived. Yet look at how he brings himself down to the level of his audience. He says, أَرَأَيْتُمْ لَوْ أَنَّ مَالَ الدُّنْيَا وُذِيَ بَعْضُهُ عَلَىٰ بَعْضُ أَكَانَ بَالِغًا السَّمَاءِ. He said, tell me, O my Sahaba, if one person owned everything in the world and he started piling it up, will it reach the heavens? They said, لَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. They said, whatever we have Allah, it won't reach the heavens. So he said, أَفَلَا أُخْبِرُكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ أَسْلُهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَرُهُ فِي السَّمَاءِ. Should I not show you something? Should I not show you an action? The root of it is in the earth. The branch of it is in the heavens. What does this mean? That this one action carries more reward than spending the wealth of the entire world. Sahaba said, tell us, O Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tell us. He said, antaqulu dubura kulli salatin maktuba, la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa subhanallah, walhamdulillah, ashra marat, fa inna aslahunna fil ardi wa farahunna fis sama. He said, after every far salah, say 10 times La ilaha illallah, 10 times Allahu Akbar, 10 times Subhanallah, 10 times Alhamdulillah. The root of this is in the earth, the branch is in the heavens. In other words, Allah will give you more reward than spending the combined wealth of the entire world. In one hadith it comes, say after every far salah, 33 times Subhanallah, 33 times Alhamdulillah, 34 times Allahu Akbar, تُدْرِكُونَ بِهِ مَنْ سَبَقَكُمْ وَتَسْبِقُونَ بِهِ مَنْ بَعْدَكُمْ وَلَا يَكُونُ أَحَدٌ أَفْضَلَ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا الَّذِي صَنَعَ مِثْلَ مَا صَنَعْتُمْ. He said, say this 33 times Subhanallah, 33 times Alhamdulillah, 34 times Allahu Akbar, after every far salah, whoever has gone ahead of you, you will catch up with him. You will supersede anyone that is with you, and no one will meet Allah on the day of judgment with more reward than the one who does this will meet Allah. You don't need a 6 week or a 4 week or a 5 week package. You don't need some Hajj organization accreditation. You don't have to worry whether it's 5 years ago, 4 years ago, 3 years ago that you made Hajj. Such a deen, such a shariat we have been given. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man salla subha fi jama'atin, Juma salah, the masjid will get full." What happens at the time of Fajr? How expensive is it? How much do we have to spend? How many £1,000? We have to book a flight. Do we have to save for years? No. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Make your Fajr salah with jama'at." Thumma jalasa fi musallahu yadhkuru Allah ta'ala hatta tatlu' ash-shams. Then remain in the masjid, involved in amal, until the sun rises, the time of ishraq. Thumma salla rakatin, then read 2 rakat salah. Kana lahu mithlu ajri hajjatin wa umratin tamma. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tamma, tamma, tamma. He said, the one person who will do this, Allah will give him the reward of one hajj and umrah. And then because you should not doubt, Allah's Rasul said, Tamma, complete Hajj, complete Umrah, 3 times. He reiterated this, complete Hajj, complete Umrah. Where is the Ummah at the time of Fajr? How much do we have to save for this? How much effort is involved in this? Man tatahara fi baytihi, thumma kharaja ila al-masjid, li adai salatin maktuba, fa ajruhu mithlu ajri al-hajj al-muhrim. Muslim Sharif riwayat, Rasulullah said, a person makes wudu at home, comes to the masjid to perform his far salah. What is his maqam? His reward is like one who tied the ihram and proceeded for Hajj. Every day, this occasion of Jumu'ah, Uzai rahimahullah narrates the hadith that Yunus bin Maysara entered the qabristan. He addressed the people of the graves. Assalamu alaykum ya ahl al-qubur min al-muslimin. أنتم لنا سلف ونحن لكم تبع فرحمنا الله وإياكم وغفر لنا ولكم ف فَكَأَنَّ قَدْ سِرْنَا إِلَى مَا سِرْتُمْ إِلَيْهِ. He addressed them, peace be upon you, residents of these graves. You are gone ahead, we are behind you. Allah have mercy on you and us. Allah forgive you and us. And then what does he say? He says it appears to me as if we have already reached the graves. But there is one integral difference. The door to Amal for them is closed. It is not closed for you. So from the grave the response came, Tuba lakum ya ahl ad-dunya hina tahujjuna fi ash-shahri arba mirar. Mubarak, glad tidings to you, O people of this dunya who are still alive. Allah has given you the opportunity to make 4 hajj every month. He shocked, 4 hajj every month, how is that possible? So he says, ila ain, what do you mean? From the grave the response comes, Ama ta'lamuna anna hudur al-jumu'ah ta'dilu hajjar tahajjatan mabruratan mutaqabbala. Don't you realize that Jumu'ah salah carried out correctly is equal to mabrur maqbool hajj. 4 times every month, man ghassala waghtasala wabtakara waqtaraba wastama'a kana lahu bikulli khatwatin yakhtuha qiyamu sanatin wa siyamiha. O kama qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that person who makes ghusl on the day of Jumu'ah, and then what? Then he comes early. How many of us are early? How many of us are early? He says this person comes early, giving reverence to this command of Allah, giving reverence to this amal of Jumu'ah. He comes early, carries out the sunnahs, listens attentively to the khutbah. What is Allah giving him? On every step, Allah gives him the reward, 1 year's fast and 1 year's tahajjud salah. Such opportunities this ummah has been given. One person made hajj 60 years walking. Walking hajj 60 years, late at night, his elderly mother. His age was probably 75, 80. What must have been her age? Elderly mother says to the son, bring me a glass of water. He finds it difficult to get up to fetch the glass of water. And then he remonstrates with himself, you were able to walk for hajj 60 years in a row. And to get up and fetch a cup of water for your elderly mother, you are finding difficult. He realizes, what is the difference? As the hajjs were piling up, the shabashi and the recognition of people was piling up also. Dead of night to go and fetch one glass of water for your mother, nobody's going to make shabashi. Nobody's going to pat you on the back. Then he realizes this is why you are finding this hard and you're finding that easy. December month, instead of holiday, okay, let's go through Umrah and then go for the holiday. Hajj upon Hajj, Umrah upon Umrah is being performed. But no change is coming in the life. The realization of this is not coming. In fact, Allah protect us. Those who are usurping the wealth of others. Those who have denied the female family members the inheritance. Those who have falsified documents and usurped the land of others. Those who have eaten up the haqq of wirasat of others. Umrah upon Umrah, Hajj upon Hajj. Nafil, that is. Ulama say, Tarku danik mimma yakrahuhu Allah ahabba ilayya min khamsi miyati hajja. Staying away, listen with the ears of Iman, my respected brothers. Staying away from one penny of haram. Staying away from one penny of haram is more virtuous than 500 nafil hajj. More virtuous than 500 nafil hajj is to stay away from one penny of haram. One youngster comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inni uridul jihad wa la aqdiru alayhi. Ya Rasulullah, I want to go for jihad, I don't have the ability. What does Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say to him? Abaqiya min walidayka ahad? Are any of your parents alive? He says, ummi, ya Rasulullah, my mother is alive. فَابِلِ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى فِي بِرِّهَا فَإِذَا فَعَلْتَ ذَلِكَ فَأَنْتَ حَاجٌ وَمُعْتَمِرٌ وَمُجَاهِدٌ. What does Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? He says, tire yourself. Tire yourself in the service of your mother. If you will do this, Allah will raise you as one who made hajj every year. Umrah every year, as one who strove in the path of Allah. Ma min waladin barrin yanzuru ila walidayhi nazrata rahmatin illa katab Allahu lahu bi kulli nazratin hajjatan mabrura. In one asar it is mentioned, ma min waladin barrin, in an obedient child. Already this condition in hadith, bar, obedient, precludes majority of us. Which home of Blackburn today, or Lancashire today, or England today, are the hearts of the parents not hurt? In which home are the youngsters not a source of dukkh and pain to their parents? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, when an obedient child just looks, no accreditation of any Hajj organization, no 6-week package also, just looks, how much do you have to spend to look? He says, when an obedient child looks with mercy at his parents, on that one gaze, Allah gives him the reward of one Hajj. Sahaba was surprised, wa in nadara fil yawmi mi'ata marra. How difficult is it to look? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, ya Rasulullah, if he looks 100 times in one day, Allahu Akbar wa Atiyab. He said, the treasures of my Allah are limitless, Allah will give him 100 Hajj reward. The days of Hajj have come. There are certain asbaq and lessons pertaining to the Hajj that are not only relevant to those who have proceeded for Hajj. It is relevant to every ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The value of these amal sahaba understood. In fact, another incident clearly illustrates this shauq, the zeal of competition. Avarice that was there amongst them also, but not for dunya, for akhirat. They were sitting at the minbar of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was the day of Jumu'ah. Someone said, a conversation started. Nu'man bin Bashir radiallahu ta'ala was the narrator of this hadith. He says, one sahabi said, I have heard the reward that Allah gives to give water to the hujjaj after Islam. This is the amal I will concentrate on. Another one said, I have heard the reward of making ibadat in the masjid after Islam. This is the amal I will concentrate on. Another one said, striving in the way of Allah is better than what you are talking about. The voices got raised. Umar got upset radiallahu anhu. He said, atarfa'u aswatakum inna mimbari rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You are raising your voices in front of the mimbar of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What is wrong with you? And what is the need for you people to discuss this? The Nabi of Allah is amongst you. And when he comes after Jumu'ah, ask him, he will tell you what is the most virtuous amal. Before they could ask the question, Jibreel is sent, أَجْعَلْتُمْ سِقَايَةَ الْحَاجِ وَإِمَارَةَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ كَمَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَجَاهَدَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ لَا يَسْتَوُونَ عِنَّ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Allah says, a rhetorical question is posed. Look at the expression of this verse of the Quran, that what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you that you are comparing giving water to the hujjaj or making ibadat in the masjid to striving in the way of Allah? These other amal can never equal striving in the way of Allah. Wallahu la yahdi al-qawm al-zalimeen. And Allah will not ever guide a nation of who are oppressors. In other words, those who will consider these other amal to be superior to striving in the way of Allah, Quran refers to them as zalim. This shauq, this jazbah, this zeal of amal, this competitiveness to acquire more and more for akhirat, rich, poor, men, women of Madinah Munawwara, this was the jazbah, this was the zeal that was prevalent amongst them. Each year during the days of Hajj, we have to remind ourselves of this. Like the poet puts it beautifully, he says, ilayka qasdi, rabb al-bayti wal-hijri, فأنت سؤلي من حجي ومن عمري وفيك سعي وتطوافي ومزدلفي والهدي نفسي الذي يغني عن الجزري. He says, oh my Allah, Kaabatullah is not the goal. Mina and Arafah is not the goal. Safa Marwa is not the goal. Ya Allah, you are the goal. Your love, your ta'alluq, you are the goal. And the Qurbani animal is not even the Qurbani animal. It is my own nafs. And to sacrifice this nafs, I don't need a knife. Those who have been to Baytullah, who are involved in Hajj, say Allah, accept their Hajj. But what is the sabab? The journey, the object of this goal, of this journey is to find Allah. Ilayka qasdi. The goal is to find Allah. And ulama say, between the ribs. of every one of us there is another Ka'batullah. Between the ribs of every one of us there is a Baytullah. For this Baytullah, to reach this Baytullah, no journey is required. No package is required. No accreditation is required. This Ka'batullah is the qalb, the dil, the heart of this insan. Fill this heart with Nuraniyat. Fill this heart with Allah's love. Fill this heart with the recognition of Allah. And wallah, the nur of this will light up the entire world. This is not an annual effort. It's not a lifetime effort. This is a daily effort. A daily effort. Opportunities of the reward of Hajj and Umrah every day Allah is giving us. Such a shariat, such a deen, through the barakat of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have received. Allah, fill the qabr of Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas sahab rahmatullahi alayhi with nur. Otherwise, where the masjid was abad at the time of Ishraq? Jamaats now are making fikr throughout the world. Little bit of abadi of masjid is taking place. These sunnats of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are coming alive. In this connection, alhamdulillah, our masturat jamaat, our women folk also out in the path of Allah Ta'ala. The jamaats are based. What's the address? 49 Bold Street for the next 2 days in this Blackburn Ilaka. We make a humble appeal, particularly the English speaking tabqa, our young girls. Try and encourage them to spend time with the jamaat and take part in the various programs. And very, very important, my respected brothers, whilst the jamaat is here, make nusrat of this jamaat. And every one of us make this niyat, then inshallah we will give time and strive in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah give us tawfiq.